Alhamdulillah, we've come now to the end of our program, and very briefly we will go over the ziyarah of Medina Munawwara and how to conduct this ziyarah. First of all, just briefly, what is ziyarah? So ziyarah is for us to present ourselves in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is not a must for Hajj. So if a person does not perform ziyarah, it is not that his Hajj is not accepted, but I don't feel there's anyone who goes for Hajj and doesn't perform his ziyarah. So alhamdulillah, the packages nowadays are made in such a manner that we always make our way to Medina Munawwara. And by performing ziyarah, one of the great benefits is that we gain the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man zara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati," that the one who visits my grave, then my intercession becomes incumbent upon him. And when a person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ulama mentioned that his intercession is only for the believers. So this is a way of securing our death on iman. Because if we will receive the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means we will die with iman. So this is a very great amal. These are some virtues of the ziyarah and visiting the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one I've already mentioned. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions in hadith that whoever visits me after my death is like he who had visited me during my life. So we were unable to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in person, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity to, the closest we can come to seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is by visiting his grave. And in one hadith, the last one, whoever performs his Hajj in Makkah then comes to Medina with the sole aim of visiting me in my masjid, for him shall be written the rewards of two accepted Hajj. So one is his Hajj, and upon this he will receive the rewards of two accepted Hajj. Intention. Whilst we go to visit Medina Munawwara, one of the key intentions should be to visit the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with other intentions to visit Medina Munawwara itself. We should have love for Medina Munawwara. This is the center of Islam. The people of Medina Munawwara, they assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his mission, and they are one of the reasons why we are Muslims today. So we should have love for Medina Munawwara, the people of Medina Munawwara, and this should be our key intention, along with visiting the Masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the graves of the Sahaba, etc. These are certain things that we should do on our way to Medina Munawwara, and we can start them from now. Just as Hazrat mentioned, whatever we plan to do, if we start putting it to practice from now, then inshallah this will become a habit and we will be able to continue and build upon this. One of them is that we should carry out as many sunan as possible. So let us from today try to adorn our lives with the sunnah of Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sunnah basically means the whole deen. And sunnah in his lifestyle, his way of eating, of talking, of performing ibadah, his facial appearance, etc., etc., we should try to carry out. And there are many books which mention the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can try to acquire these books and then bring them into practice. Recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. This is very important. From the time we embark on our journey, or even prior to that, durood should be on our tongues, because we learn from the ahadith that when a person, he sends salutations on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his name is mentioned in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His name, the name of his father also, that so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, has sent durood upon you. So even before we reach the name, reach the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a familiarity will already be created. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be more than eager to see us and to come to know of us. So we should receive durood. There are many books on durood, the 40 salat and salam you may already have. You can acquire it from downstairs. There's also a book called 100 salat and salam. And we keep with us a tasbih, it may have been mentioned earlier. There are many formulas of durood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the durood we perform in salah, etc. So let us try to keep our tongue moist and make a target. If we don't have a target, what generally happens, we start reciting durood and then we start talking to somebody, we lose track of where we were, and whether we finish or not, or how much we recite, we don't remain aware. So if we have a target that I have a tasbih, I'm going to read 10,000 durood, then we'll get there. If somebody's talking, we'll cut off that conversation politely and engage in our durood. Otherwise, it's very easy to get deflected. And the target should be a realistic one. It shouldn't just be, I've made a target and I'm just reading Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We're not completing the durood. So this is disrespectful. So something which is realistic, something which is achievable, looking at our own abilities, and we should recite as much durood. Recite, listen to a naat, etc. We can read naats also. Something which we should start from now. The seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his life, his one is that, you know, we hear of his life in lectures, in bayanat, etc. One is we actively read. When a person reads, he gains more knowledge. So we should buy books on seerah. There's a book named Seeratul Mustafa by one of our elders, Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelwi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. It's been, there's an abridged version also. You can find it downstairs. There's a book called The Prophet of Mercy, written by Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Nadwi. It is in Urdu. It's been translated into English. Our Shaykh also has a small booklet titled The Best. And you'll find other books on seerah, as long as they're written by reliable authors and they have correct information. Let us start from now. If we're going as a couple, as a family, we can sit down, read a few pages a day. As we come to know of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's only natural that our love will increase, inshallah. So let us bring this into practice also. These are some du'as. So as we come closer to Medina Munawwara, we will see the Masjid al-Nabawi, we will see the dome of where under which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is resting, and the minarets, etc. So as we come closer, our reverence should increase, our love should increase. There are also du'as which we can learn and try to bring them into practice. Allahumma hadha haramu nabiyyik, faj'alhu li wiqayatan minan nar, wa amanan minal azab, wa su'il hisab. So if we're able to, we can learn these du'as and bring them into practice, inshallah. Once we arrive in Medina Munawwara, we'll make our way to our hotel, and depending on the time of the day, at the earliest opportunity, we should try to present ourselves in the court of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in doing so, because we are going to stand in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such a great personality, so just like in the dunya, whenever we attend an event or we meet somebody, our dress, our, you know, body language is in accordance to that person's status. So we should wear our best clothes, men should apply itra perfume, and ensure that clothing and appearance is in accordance with the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the clothes of the pious people, generally people are mindful of this and they wear appropriate clothing with utmost humility. So this humility will be created when we are actively thinking of where we are. That this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He lived in Medina Munawwara. His footsteps are in this blessed place. The Sahaba lived here. This is where Islam flourished. So when we think like this, then this will create humility inside us. On our way, we should recite durood in abundance. And if possible, we find somebody who is needy, then we should also try to give some charity, as this is a means of acquiring the closeness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We enter Masjid al-Nabawi just like we would enter any other masjid, with the right foot and reciting the du'as to mention. And Alhamdulillahi bismillah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa sallim, Allahumma ghfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab rahmatik. Or if we don't know the whole du'a, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. If we don't, sometimes we don't know, you know, we find it, I can't learn the whole thing. So we leave something out altogether. Labbaik, inshallah, everyone will learn. But if somebody can't, it doesn't mean you leave the whole labbaik. Learn the first line at least, learn two lines at least. So the same goes with these du'as, etc. Perform two rakats of tahiyyatul masjid, reciting surah kafirun. So when we enter the masjid, if it's salah time, then we will engage in salah. But if it's not, you know, you're going between Fajr and Zuhr, for example, there's no salah at that time, so we should perform tahiyyatul masjid and then make our way to the grave of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another salah that we can perform is salatul shukr, and show gratitude to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So perform, we can incorporate the two also. Salatul tahiyyatul masjid can also be salatul shukr. After performing this salah, with our heart and mind, turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, show that humility and humbleness and gratitude that Allah has brought me to such a blessed place despite me not being worthy of it. These are just a few important masail which we need to keep in mind. One of them is that we don't perform nafl salah during makruh times. Sometimes, so before zawal, etc., we should not perform nafl salah. So whenever we perform salah, let us be aware of the time. Generally, it won't be a problem. Most of the times we can perform salah, but certain times, for example, between asr and maghrib, after you perform asr, now until maghrib we can't perform any salah. We can perform qaza, but we can't perform nafl salah. So sometimes we may see somebody, it may be that they've missed the asr salah, they're making up for it. So try to learn these masail and keep them in mind. We should also make intention of i'tikaf. So the time we spend, alhamdulillah, when people go to Haramain, it's not like our local masjid. We come for half an hour and then we leave 15 minutes. People are there for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes 3, 4, 5 hours. So imagine, if we make niyyah, how much we can acquire. If we don't, then we will miss out on this. So whenever we go to the masjid, if it's Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, let us ensure that we make this niyyah of nafl i'tikaf, inshallah. Do not touch or kiss any pillar, wall or door of Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. There's no significance for any pillar or any door or any particular place, because this is a form of bid'ah, this is a form of innovation, and one person does it, another person follows, and a third person, and then something which wasn't holy then becomes holy. So we should ensure that we keep this in mind also. To perform the salat and send salutations and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will generally be staying towards the back of the masjid. Some people stay towards the front also, but most people stay towards the back. So we will have to now cross the masjid and make our way to the front. So one will have to make their way towards the front of the Masjid Nabawi. At the front, there will be, things have changed now. There's a lot of guards there or people who are guiding you, barriers, etc. And we will be, if we haven't been before, inshallah, we shouldn't have a problem locating where we need to be, inshallah. This is the bab that we need to go to. So number one, Babu Salam. So sometimes you have to also come out the masjid and then make your way. So make your way across the marble area, and this is where we will now be entering from. So because we had to leave the masjid, so we may have been in Masjid Nabawi, we've read our 2 rakats, and to perform salah we've come out and we're now coming back in again. So this is why it says that we should recite the dua again. And now we are closer. We may have been right at the back. Now we've come towards the front, we are very close to the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should be reciting durood, we should be looking down, we shouldn't be looking right, left. Just like when you visit, you know, a person, even a holy person, a buzrug, a sheikh, an alim, or somebody who we revere, that we walk with humility, we conduct ourselves in a humble manner. So this is the same, not same, we should be 100 times more. Level of humility and humbleness we should show. Whilst we are going towards the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should also do istighfar, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wants to see us progressing in deen, and unfortunately we are not. So if we cleanse ourselves, then inshallah we will go to the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a more purer state, and inshallah in totally pure state. That will bring more attention of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remain conscious of the fact that you are entering in the presence of the greatest creation of Allah. And be careful not to commit any form of disrespect. Disrespect could be in the form of, like I said, looking around, right, left. It could be, you know, joking with somebody who is next to us, on our right, on our left. And nowadays, which is even more disrespectful, is people are busy on their phones. So they're calling somebody, or showing a video to somebody, or informing somebody, or just taking a video for their own selves. All of these videos we can find online. There's, inshallah, no Muslim or relative of ours who hasn't seen Masjid Nabawi. Even if they haven't been, they've still seen it. And if they haven't, send them a video from now. So you don't need to do one when they get there. And when we get there, our mind will not be focused. So we are not there, like Hazrat mentioned, to show other people. We are there for a purpose. So it's very important, keep your phones away. If you don't need it, don't take it with you to the masjid. If we know that I'm going to take my phone, I'll become vulnerable, I may end up taking some photos or videos, it'll distract me, leave our phones in our hotel, no harm will come to us, inshallah. So you will see people doing this. If we see people doing it, let them carry on doing their thing. We, inshallah, try to be an example for others. So do not take any photos or videos, etc., phone somebody. Try to, you know, remain focused on where we are and what we are doing at that time. As we approach the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, the same thing, we should be reciting durood, we should be reciting istighfar, we should be looking down, We should be conscious of where we are and who we are going to visit. This is the, so we will come and then walk straight. There's signboards, etc. We will see everyone going in a certain direction. There are three golden mesh wiring. So the middle one is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, they are buried in sequence and their face is facing towards us. So as we go, if we face towards this, we are facing the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is just showing that which the first hole is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed places, and then Hazrat Abu Bakr and then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. As we are walking, then we will try to, sometimes they also make us rush, but as we walk, we will now face the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes you see people, they're trying to like look into it, or you can't see anything anyway, but this is again a form of disrespect. So we should walk with humility, stand with utmost humility. Do not try to touch the wire mesh. Generally, we can't reach down there anyway. Or bow down, try to prostrate. These are all forms of bid'ah. They can also fall into shirk. So we revere Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam extremely, but sajda and things of this nature, they are exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we now walk and we will turn, so if I'm walking this way, for example, if I'm walking this way, I will now turn and face towards this area. And in a moderate tone, so not in our minds, not too loud, because this is a form of disrespect, and not too softly also. We will recite salam and mention words of this nature. So there are certain different formulas of sending salam here. The easiest is the first one. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. So when we are sending salam from here, our salam, the malaika and the angels are taking, if we are reading durood from here. But when we are there, that durood we are sending directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no angel in between who is carrying our durood. We are in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like we would be saying salam to somebody who is in front of us, who we are meeting on the street, meeting inside the masjid, someone coming to our home. So the as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabi Allah. If we know Arabic, then there are many different words we can say, something which comes to our mind, we can also, it is not fixed. But try to learn one, so that when you get there, you're not stressed about what I need to say. So this is as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. By the time you reach Hajj, inshallah, you should know this. It shouldn't be of much work. So try to learn at least one. Ya Nabi Allah, ya Habib Allah. These are all ways of showing love to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing reverence to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they don't really let you stand there for too long because there's crowds, there's people behind us. So we, just carry on moving as and when people are behind us. And we should also read Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the second kalima. Wa anna annaka abduhu or wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu. We are affirming our faith and our iman in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should also seek forgiveness and ask for the intercession. This is in accordance to a verse of the Quran, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he intercedes for us, then inshallah we can have great hope that intercession will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever language we are able to, in English, in Urdu, whatever we are comfortable with, we are speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like I would be speaking to somebody saying that, can you please ask or intercede for me? I want a job from so and so person. Can you speak to him? So this is the same thing. We are asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to intercede for us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our sins are forgiven and that Allah gives us husni khatima, a good death. So one point which is very important, that do not raise your hands towards the grave. Because this is also, we may not be doing that, we're just making dua, but it's a form of grave worship, which we know is not allowed in Islam. So when we make dua, we face the qibla, which is the opposite direction. So we make, and for dua, you don't have to lift your hands up. You can, speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make dua in our hearts and minds also. Our dear near ones would have told us that, please convey my salam also to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should also try to do this as much as time as we have. The way to do it, there's no set way of doing it. We, in our own language, however we are comfortable, we recite durood and then say to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am also sending salam. on behalf of so-and-so. There are certain people who are very important, our parents, our siblings, our grandparents, our teachers, our mashayikh. We also request you to send salam on behalf of our sheikh, who has, because of whom this institute is here today, the teachers, the staff here, all of us, and whoever is important to you, and because of who we have progressed in deen and dunya, we should also remember them at this time. This is their right upon us. And if we cannot remember everyone who has told us, you know, we all have big families, circles of friends, many people would have told us, we can keep it brief at the end, that whoever has told me, oh Allah, send salam. And if I send salam on their behalf also. So mention names of people who are important, and at the end, anyone else, we should also try to send their salam also. After this, we will move a step forward. Sometimes, like I said, you're not always able to do it in sequence. So you stand and then one step. It's possible that you may just have to walk past quickly. So in that case, don't stress about it. Whatever you're able to do, if you're able to turn slightly, say, Salat wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, move forward. This is now Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Again, if we are able to read the seerah of these personalities, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is the greatest human after all the Anbiya. Afdalun nasi ba'd al-anbiya, after all the prophets in the whole of humanity, is the status of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he gave great services for the cause of Islam. Many books written about him also, stories. Let us acquaint ourselves with these personalities. This will create love and reverence in our hearts, inshallah. So again, as-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khalifata rasulillah. If we can't remember in Arabic, say it in English, whatever language you are comfortable with. Jazakallahu an ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah reward you for the sacrifices you have done. As we move towards the next, where the hole is, this is now, we are facing the face of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So again, we will say salam to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, or any other words that we may know, and also show our gratitude to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu for his services to Islam. After this, because we have cried out a great amal, we have presented ourselves in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is hope that our du'as will be accepted. So as we leave the masjid, one is that don't face your back towards the grave. So we continue walking. So in that sense, because facing our back is also a sign of disrespect, generally we will continue to walk, we will come out the masjid. So now, find a suitable space where there's not too much crowds, face towards the Qibla, and this is a time when we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua for, you know, our near and dear ones, and for our future life also, how we can, generally we'll go after Hajj, so how we can continue the momentum that we acquired through our Hajj, inshallah. As far as this Salat and Salam is concerned, this is not something that we will only do once. So inshallah, throughout our stay, it may be a week, 7-8 days, try to go as much as possible. Within reason, don't go so much that it just becomes, you know, a habit or something which loses its importance and value. So once a day, maybe twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, this is something that we should continue to do. It's not a one-off. So it is throughout our stay, we may not get this chance again. So we should continuously, you know, once or twice a day, try to present ourselves in front of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, try to find a quiet time. Praying at the Rawda. So this is, I'm not going to read through all of this. Generally, you'll be given all of these advices. You have to have an app and you have to make a booking. The Rawda is the space between the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mimbar of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is mentioned in the hadith, ma bayna mimbari wa qabri rawdatun min riyadil jannah, that the space between my grave and my mimbar is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So one meaning is that this portion of land will go into paradise. Another meaning is that the amal which is carried out in this portion, it will inshallah take a person to Jannah. So there are various interpretations. So we should make sure and try to make a booking. Don't become lax about it. I can't find a booking. It's fine, or it's too early in the morning, or I have to wake up. It's only one time that we have to make this sacrifice. If we have to, you know, shift our routine a bit, it is worth it, inshallah. It is better to avoid selecting a time that falls between Asr and Maghrib, because then we can't perform Nafla Salah. So we would have performed our Asr, and if that's the only time you have, it doesn't matter, you can read Quran, etc. also. It says this area used to be marked by green carpets. That's why generally people know it as the green carpet area, but now it's been changed. So it's the same color carpet as the rest of the masjid. But we're going to be with people who have come for Hajj maybe before, who know their way around, and we will inshallah be able to locate this area. There are certain parts of the Rawdah. So the area of the Rawdah has been marked by a marble design on the pillar, because it's a distinctive design. But because the carpet has been green, the whole masjid is green, sometimes we end up, we're supposed to be in the Rawdah, but we end up being out of the Rawdah. So try to be mindful of this, that you're in the right place, and so that we can maximize this opportunity, inshallah. And whilst we are in the Rawdah, the half an hour that we have, the hour that we have, try to engage in dua, engage in tilawah of the Quran, nafla salah. Our Hazrat always mentions that when we are there, one dua we should make is that this is a portion of Jannah. One interpretation is that piece of land has come from Jannah. So we should say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Jannah is such a place that once you enter, you never leave again. So I have come to the piece of Jannah which is in the dunya. Oh Allah, make sure that I become a Jannati and I'm someone who never leaves Jannah again. So that Jannah remains, it is secured for me. So this is a dua that we should also make. After this, the rest of the days we have in Madinah Munawwara, let us ensure that we read all our salah inside Masjid Nabawi. In Haram Sharif, one salah is equivalent to 100,000. In Masjid Nabawi, one salah is equivalent to 50,000. So 50,000 for one salah. So we should never miss any salah. Ensure that we perform all our salah inside the Masjid Nabawi. And there are also other places that we should try to mention. One or few of them are mentioned later on. One is Jannatul Baqi, which is after the Rawdah and continuing. It has certain opening times. Many great companions. It is said that 10,000 Sahaba are buried here. So we won't find their graves. There's no names, etc. mentioned. There are certain areas where certain family members of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Uthman, etc. they are buried. So we should visit Jannatul Baqi. We should make dua for the deceased. We should pray and send the reward to them. It will benefit them and it'll benefit us also, inshallah. Mount Uhud. Generally, when you go for ziyarah, there's groups normally organized. They take you to Mount Uhud. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that Uhud jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. This mountain loves us Muslims and we love it also. So these blessed places we should go to, we should maybe educate, we should try to educate ourselves. What is Mount Uhud? What's its importance in Islam? Which historical events took place here? Hazrat Sayyiduna Hamza, who is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's buried there, and the rest of the martyrs. So we make dua for them, we read some Quran and send it to them, and acquire the blessings of this place, these places. Masjid Quba, which is not too far from Masjid Nabawi. There is now Quba Walk, as they say, and we can very easily make our way to Masjid Quba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go every Saturday. So if we can go on a Saturday, alhamdulillah. If we can't, we can go on another day, inshallah. And there is a great reward of performing salah there. So let us try to make sure that we try to attend. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that a person should try to perform 4 rakats when he visits Masjid Quba. And apart from this, like I said, we will be continuously every day, twice a day, visiting Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grave. And lastly, the day before we leave, the morning before we leave, we go and give our farewell salam. So there is no particular way of giving a farewell salam. It's just in our heart and mind, we should be conscious that this is my last salam. We should be making dua that, oh Allah, give me this opportunity time and time again. And also be aware, we may not live to have this opportunity again. So we should visit this time with much love, with much reverence, and try to maximize this opportunity. Depart with durood emanating on your tongue and with a heart struck with grief of separation. So we should be conscious of this, that, you know, I am leaving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a blessed place. And also use this opportunity to make dua for your needs, acceptance of your Hajj, Umrah, Ziyarah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you back again, inshallah. So this is where our ziyarah ends, and our program ends for today, inshallah. So like I mentioned, Asr Salah is at 7:10, so there's about 20 minutes. One or two things. One was what Hazrat mentioned, that if you have any questions, you can come to the academy between Maghrib and Isha any day. Sisters can phone in the afternoons. If you phone the office, they'll give you the time. Any questions we have, queries, misunderstandings, confusion, and also material related to Hajj. You may have seen quite a bit of it downstairs on the stall. There's also a stall on the sister's side. So try to buy the books related to Hajj. Also buy dua books, Salat and Salam books. All of these things will, you know, we have plenty of time. We are there for a purpose, for ibadat. So the more material we have, the more we'll be able to maximize. So we might want to do much, but we don't know what to read. So if we have books with us, good beneficial material, alhamdulillah, much has been published from the academy also. So we will also benefit by you taking our material, whoever has compiled it, our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, etc. And you will also benefit. And anything else you find from elsewhere, as long as it's authentic, take these things with you and benefit from them. And if anyone, we have about 20 minutes, so if anyone has any questions, we have a few of our ulama, Mufti and Kiram here. And if you have any questions related to what you've heard today, or prior to this you had any doubts, then you know, you may also, you can, a few of them will be seated here and there, so you can ask for the questions, inshallah. There is also a Hajj Bayan online on our IDA website that was conducted many years ago. It's more detailed than this. Our Sheikh, he used to do a 5-day program, so it's more detailed. It's in Urdu, I believe, so if you're able to. And there's also an English translation, so it's in Urdu and English. So it's more extensive. Just download it on your phone. You know, we have AirPods and stuff nowadays. If you're traveling to work, coming back, or out on a walk, if we go over these a few times, then inshallah we'll become more acquainted with the Masail of Hajj, and we'll feel more confident also. So when we go there, this probably was mentioned earlier, we may see people doing other things or giving us other guidance. So if we're very sure what we need to do, then inshallah we won't be the victim of any confusion. So try to download this and also benefit from this, inshallah. Jazakumullah to everyone for attending today. May Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj. May He take you safely. May He bring you back safely and grant everyone a Hajj Mabrur, inshallah.